Good evening, all of you. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are meditating God's attributes. We were meditated about unique and last week, right? Studied about the Lord is Spirit. It's a shared attribute. And this week we will be meditating on Lord's love. We'll just have a word of prayer and start. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord. Not worthy to talk about you, to pronounce your name itself, Lord. Unworthy person, unclean and unholy lips, Father. Lord, thank you for sanctifying me and called your son, Father. Lord, I must decrease and you must increase, Lord. You speak through me, and this is the church that you bought with the precious blood, Father. You strengthen them, you encourage them through me, Father. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Okay. Attributes of our Lord. Attributes means it's about the qualities, characteristics, the essence, and the being of our Lord. How great he is. Moses says, Lord, who is like you among gods? There is none like you. So it's our privilege to meditate attributes of our God. One of the primary attribute is love. We'll see what is love and how we are called love beings, and our Lord is the King of love, and his kingdom is kingdom of love. This is the picture of our galaxy called Milky Way. This is one of the galaxies. There are millions of galaxies in the whole universe. NASA classified the space right into two categories, known space and unknown space. This is part of the known space. So wherever this white dot is the planet Earth. This is magnified here, the planet Earth. If you see right, how minute, how micro it is in our Milky Way alone. So there are plenty of stars in the Milky Way alone. And if you see the whole universe, right, there are billions of stars. Our Lord, right, he names them and he calls them by name. He knows how many stars are there. That is the greatness of our Lord. So in this whole vast universe, right, we are nowhere. Genesis 28:7. I'm referring some of the verses from NASB and some from NKJV. Abraham, he replied while conversing with our God, right, about the Lord. He says, Abraham replied, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I'm dust and ashes. And Luke 12:7, it says, indeed, the very heights of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sorrows. Now, if you go back to that previous slide, right? Now you can see planet Earth itself, right? It's very, very small. And then in that, right, I believe United States is very small. And then Dallas, total out of 7.7 billions of population, right? We are nowhere. So now whatever Abraham says, right, it is really valid. We are dust and ashes. But love means Lord, right, as per Psalms 8:4, we do not have any good qualities to mindful. But Lord, our Lord, he minded us and he remembered us and he sent forth his son. So it says, 1 John 4:9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. So he minded us, he remembered us, and he loved us, and he sent his son to this world, this planet Earth. And then in that love, right, nobody can separate us. Romans 8:35 NKJV says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 36th verse, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being, created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. It's very difficult to comprehend what is love and all, but we'll try to attempt to understand God's love. God's love, the heading itself, right? God is love. God is love means it's a description. It says in 1 John 4th chapter 8 verse and 16, it's just a description. It's not the definition. It's very, very difficult to give the definition to God's love. One of the songs, whatever we sang just now, right? That is by Frederick Martin Lehman. And he says about the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And then the last stanza, right in the same song, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above wood, drying the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. This means in simple language, right? We have seven oceans. We all know Atlantic, Indus Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Antarctic, Arctic. All these oceans, right? Just assume they are filled with the ink. In the olden days, right, we use so all those oceans, right, with the full of ink, and every human being, right, he's a scribe, writer. With that ink, and if you dip every grass, right, every part of that grass is a quill. Quill means like pen. If you dip and write about the love of God, right, where we are writing on the skies. Skies like parchment, nothing but it's a writing place. If you write about the love of God, right, the ink itself, it will be drained out. It will not be sufficient. And even the skies, right, if you stretch the skies as a parchment and write, right, even the skies are not sufficient. That is the power of that. That much we cannot contain, or we cannot comprehend, and we cannot put into anything. One more brother, he says, there is no word in the dictionary to tell about the Lord. Whatever the dictionary we refer, right? It's Webster or Oxford University, Oxford Dictionary. Whatever the definitions they are giving, right? Or human intended, humanly thinking way of love and all. But the divine love, whatever the love mentioned in this Bible, right? It's really, it's very, very difficult. It's unfathomable. We'll see some more qualities, how the love is. It's a multi-phased. God's love, it's immeasurable. There is no depth, like I always just referred that verse, right? Romans 8:15. It's immeasurable. There is no height or depth or width or height. It's immeasurable. It's causeless. We think it's a reckless. No, it's not recklessness. Recklessness means without purpose, without thing, right, going. But our God, right, he's having the divine cause for that. But we really don't know. We cannot understand. That's why I would like to say it's causeless. It's unprovoked. Nobody requested him. It's unprovoked. On himself, right, he loved us and he sent forth his son. It's impartial. Like his love, right, irrespective of a race or financial status or educational status, right, the sunshine, the sunlight, right, it gives to everybody, just or unjust, righteous or unrighteousness people. A rain also, right, it falls on all races, all nations. It does not see any discrimination there. His love is impartial. It is pure love, unconditional. It will not check any conditions. It's a free from selfishness, unworthy motives. It's a sacrificial love. If you see the Calvary, right, you can see how much sacrificial love it is. It led the Holy Son of God to Calvary. And then it's unique. We may search the whole earth for a better dictionary to describe the Lord's love, but all in vain. Absolutely, there is no word. We cannot tell this is the love like that. We'll see some more. J.I. Packer is a theologian. Everybody knows about J.I. Packer. In his famous book, right, sold 1 million copies of the book, more than 1 million. And Knowing God, he mentions as God love. He tries to formulate as follows. God's love is an exercise of his goodness toward individual sinners, whereby having identified himself with their welfare, he has given his son to be their savior. And now, brings them to know and enjoy them in a covenant relationship. This is his completely his opinion, and it's a way of putting all the words. And then if you see because most of the we are studying about the Knowing Bible, right? Testament from the Greek Greek language. So the four Greek words talks about the love. One is storge. It pronounced as storge. It's nothing but the Greek word describing family, love, the naturally developing affectionate bond between parents, siblings, and family members. And then eros is a Greek word for a sensual or romantic love pronounced eros. It nowhere mentioned about this one in the Bible. And then philia, we know Philadelphia church in Revelation, right? Philia means it's a brotherly love, the type of emotional love between good friends, brotherly love, love for humanity and those in need, etc. And then the divine love, agape love, the highest of the four types of love, as it is the divine love that comes from God. As God is love itself, it means agape love is perfect, unconditional, and yeah, pure love. These are all the four types of love, and whatever we refer like in 1 John 4th chapter and all related to the agape love. And now we'll see how God's love, right, it is made manifest in life. 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God's love for you was made manifest in sending his Son into the world in the form of human flesh, as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in manger. This is the month of December. We are seeing how the Holy Son of God, right, he's coming as a baby and swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in the poor, in the Bethlehem, the poor family, and also in that poor situation. God's love is seen when his word became flesh. We all know about John 1. When all his promises found their yes, as per 2 Corinthians 1:20, and we can join with the heavenly host in singing this month, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he pleased. In Jesus, God's love is no longer simply an idea to grasp. His love is flesh and bones, a baby born of virgin God with us. In Jesus' birth, we see God's love made manifest among us. He gave us the gift of his Son so that we might have life. Romans 6:23, it says, wages of sin, right, it is a death, whereas the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now we are seeing how the love of God, right, it manifested and came to this world 2,000 years back. And then we can see the love of our Lord, right, in the death. 1 John 4:10 says, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love for us made manifest in sending his Son to be the propitiation. We all know all these verses because we used to meditate in every Sunday, right? So like how he mocked, whipped, scorned, all those things, right? But nowhere he shown disability and inability and all. So completely right, it's a love. It's unspeakable love we can see there. So this is the, if you see the Calvary, right, you can see the love of God, how much he loved us, and he stretched forth his love, and he died for our sake to give us life. Okay, this is about the Calvary love. And then ultimately application point of view, right, how God's will is he wanted to see his love, right, in all our lives. That is the main God's will. So that we can see here in 1 John 4:11, right, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the commandment. Just as God's love is more than an emotion towards his people, our love towards others must be more than an emotion. Our love must be made manifest in life and in death. Our love must be made manifest in sharing life with others. We are called to a life filled with fellowship of the believers. We are called to bear one another's burden. And we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We saw in the previous slides, right, how God's love manifested in life and death. If you want to manifest the God's love, right, Luke 9:23 says, whoever decides to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, his own cross, and follow me. That is a death. That is a daily thing. So in order to manifest the God's love, right, we have to die ourselves, and then even we have to live like Jesus, how he lived, right? Live like a Jesus, I can say simply. And then our love must also be made manifest in dying ourselves. We are called to take up our cross daily. We are called to consider others more significant than ourselves. And we are called to be to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. There are so many beautiful verses in the Bible about love. Some of the verses I just mentioned here. And then one more beautiful verse is 1 John 3:1, right? We can see what a manner of love the Father bestowed his love upon us, that we should be called as children of God. Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all people. Deuteronomy 7:8, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's not only for the Israelites, even this is applicable to us, how Lord loves us. The slavery of bondage in Egypt means we were in the sinner's life, right? Sinful life, but our Lord, like how he redeemed Israelites, right? He redeemed us and he led us into heavenly Canaan. Jeremiah 13:3, the Lord has appeared of old to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It will never last. Everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with a gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Some more verses. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. 5:5 Romans. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is ultimate. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The last one, love, right? It's a multi-phased. We can see all different phases of love here in the 1 Corinthians 13th chapter from 4 to 8. Love suffers long and kind and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Fifth verse, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Sixth verse, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Seventh verse, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Last one, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. There is knowledge, it will vanish away. There are so many, from just starting Genesis to Revelation, right? So many verses on the love. I just only put a few I mentioned here. But the love, right? It's nobody can separate us from the love of God. Lord showed that love, we can experience that love. Whoever really, the moment when we know about the Lord, right? If we know more, right? More we will worship and praise him. If we know less, we will worship him. That is the standard. So I would like to thank God for showing all these verses. And let's remember his love, especially if you see the Calvary, right? We can see the love of God and we'll worship. Thank you.